What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to a very optimistic version of the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and I'm coming to you live from Royal Oak this weekend in the Inglewood Avenue studios as the Pistons are getting ready for a return to Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit tonight, which is Monday night, October 23rd. And the Pistons are 2-1 heading into that home game against the Philadelphia 76ers at 7 o'clock Eastern. I'll be there. The Pistons recapping the weekend a little bit here, lost in Washington against the Wizards on Friday night, 115-111. Team was down early on, and then Reggie Jackson led a nice fourth quarter comeback. He had 21 points in the game. Couldn't get the Pistons quite over the hump at the end, though, thanks a little bit to the stripes, as we'll talk a little bit about later on in the podcast. But Luke Kennard, also of note, the Duke University freshman, I call him a freshman, he's a rookie for the Detroit Pistons. He had a DNP in the first game on Wednesday night against the Charlotte Hornets, but he got his first NBA action and went ahead and made his first 5 NBA shots. He didn't retire after that, though, missed his next 3, but a nice start to the career of a guy that we hope makes a lot of shots in his Piston career. So, and then the Pistons went to New York City on Saturday night and played the lowly New York Knicks, but a team that's got a little bit of infused energy after the Carmelo Anthony trade and the proverbial passing of the baton to Kristaps Porzingis, taking over the throne as the obvious top player of that team. But the Pistons were trailing big, trailed by 21 points at one point, and trailed by about 13 late in the third quarter, came back and had a thrilling 111-107 victory over the Knicks in New York's home opener. The Knicks fell to 0-2. New York City's been a little bit of a house of horrors for the Pistons as of late. I think they've been 1-7 over the past 8 games when playing in New York City against either the Knicks or the Nets. So nice to get over that hump in one way. So good to see there. Tobias Harris had 31 points to lead the way for the Pistons. Andre Drummond had 21 points and 12 rebounds, and obviously the best game of his young season so far. And in the first game of the season for Anthony Tolliver, who was inactive for the first 2 games of the year, he came in off the bench and really helped slow down Porzingis there in the second half. So hats off to AT for a strong performance, not letting the lack of playing time or even the lack of uniform get in his way from the first 2 nights, and was a pro as we would expect AT to be. He was a plus 21 on the game in terms of his time on the court. The Pistons outscored the Knicks by 21 points, and he knocked down 3 3-pointers as well. So a real strong game, and the internet can breathe a sigh of satisfaction once again as Boban did get in the game for the first time. He only played 4 minutes and got up 2 points total, but still, Boban's in, so he is alive and well, and maybe we'll see as the season progresses how his usage goes for Stan Van Gundy and the Detroit Pistons. But like I said, a big game Monday night coming up against the 76ers, a team that many, including myself, figure could come down to the Pistons for some of those last playoff spots in the Eastern Conference. So those games maybe get a little bit more of a circle on the schedule. Like, for instance, when the Lions play the Packers and the Vikings and the Bears in the NFC North, it's a little bit like the Pistons, as divisional games don't really matter. In the grand scheme of things, division championships don't really mean anything in the NBA. So really, you kind of look at those teams, especially when you're possibly a team that might be on the border of that playoff race, that maybe you're looking at those teams as kind of the ones you circle a little bit. So a little bit of those games coming up. After that, the Pistons will be hosting Minnesota on Wednesday, and placing a little bit more importance on those Philadelphia and Minnesota home games is the fact that they're going out west this weekend to take on the Clippers in LA and then Golden State the Warriors, the NBA champions, who are slipping a little bit to start the season, but still a tough back-to-back there on Saturday and Sunday, and then back to LA for the second game in a short span at the Staples Center, where they will take on Lonzo, LaVar, and the Lakers on Tuesday night. So a tough stretch going out west. Anytime you go out west, it's tough, but especially when you got the NBA champs and a couple of teams in LA that are obviously in the spotlight as well. So making further importance on this week's games that the Pistons are able to take care of business and get a win against the Sixers, knock them down to 0-4, and then hopefully get one against Minnesota, which with a revamped group that includes obviously now Jimmy Butler in addition to Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins after their big win on Sunday night when they knocked off the Oklahoma City Thunder after a bank by Wiggins at the buzzer to get the victory there in a very exciting game. So a big week coming up in Pistons basketball. I'm in town. I'm excited. I'm going to the groundbreaking for the Pistons practice facility Monday afternoon. So I'll have some notes to pass along about that as well. And then, like I said, going to the game as a fan to get the fan experience on Monday evening to check out Little Caesars Arena for my first time. So a good week, and we're excited to go get after it here on Locked On Pistons. Yes, sir, indeed, a lot for Rip and Piston fans to be excited about through three games as Detroit is 2-1. Despite the loss on Friday night to the Washington Wizards, I wanted to touch upon the officials and the instant replay stuff before we move on to the excitement of this week ahead, as it was on Pistons fans' minds a little bit throughout the weekend. I know it's a few days old now, but just wanted to touch upon it as we will on Mondays. We want to kind of recap the weekend and what happened. The Pistons fell behind big in the fourth quarter and almost made it all the way back. They had Avery Bradley driving for a tying basket in the last minute, and he was obviously followed by Otto Porter on the breakaway, and the foul was not called. The ball was initially ruled off of Otto Porter and given to the Pistons, but according to replay review, they saw that the ball was actually off of Bradley last and made the determination that it was Washington ball. Now, obviously, it's one thing, you know, they make the correct call, but on the other hand, the officials are seeing blatantly that they missed a foul call, but not a foul call that you can make retroactively according to NBA rules, which you can understand where they'd be coming from on those rules. It's a lot like the NFL, that just had a little bit more of a more famous replay system and a much more maligned replay system in some ways, because football rules are so, you know, they're tough to follow, that it's tough to even know what's a penalty and what's a catch and all that kind of stuff in football. With basketball, it's a little bit more straightforward, but they're following the model of football a little bit there in terms of conclusive evidence to replay certain things. And then, of course, in both sports, you can't call penalties or call fouls that weren't called in the field or anything like that. Then later on, the Pistons down by 2 points, going up for a jump ball with John Luehr, bouncing around a little bit. Reggie Jackson ends up on the ground, is about to grab the ball. Mike Scott falls on him, kind of gives him a little bit of a body block, and causes or helps Reggie Jackson to have the ball go off of him. Replay review gives it to Washington instead, but of course, again, once again, ignores the fact that it was an obvious foul. The league on Saturday came back with their last 2 minutes report and went ahead and said that, yeah, of course, we got this wrong. So our bad on those two plays, should have both been fouls, and who knows what would have happened if the Pistons would have gotten those calls. I mean, it's one of those things as fans, right? I mean, you win some of these, you lose some of these. On the heels of a lot of Pistons fans are obviously miffed a little bit still with that Lions play against the Falcons a few weeks ago, and that kind of brings the whole Detroit against everybody mentality out there. And I'm with it. I understand. I get it. And that's a prerogative of Detroit fans to think that, and no problem for some of the crowd out there. But I think most of us know deep down that it's just one of those things that happens in sports. Certainly no malicious intent from the NBA or replay officials or officials or anything like that. But the refs had a bad night all in all. I think Reggie Jackson said it after the game, said he'd be embarrassed to be wearing stripes on the court after that one. And that's okay. That's good. We like to hear that from our players, to be upset about a road loss after such a bad road slate last season, and for them to fall down in New York and bounce back, albeit against a bad Knicks team, but still to have the contributions that they got off the bench from guys that they weren't getting any contributions at all through the first two games, to have Tobias Harris go off for the second time in three games, including both of them being wins. It's good to see. You know, maybe he's putting together a little bit of a season. And really, maybe the Pistons as a team are putting together a little bit of a season. It's too early to even serve notice throughout the league quite yet. And it's too early to alert all your friends who are kind of bandwagon Pistons fans who are waiting for a little bit more of a good start or a good run to tune back into this team on an everyday basis. But, you know, the seeds are there, and we're going to talk a little bit today about why maybe Pistons fans should be a little bit excited. But, man, it is a little frustrated, isn't it? I know that talking about this and debating the instant replay and things like that, it just, if you come up with some sort of solution, sometimes you're just kind of adding layers and adding more rules onto things. But don't you think that a referee, I'm not saying that you can even say, you know, make foul calls afterwards or something like that, because then you're adding, like I said, another layer to the cake. But can't a referee or a replay official watch that play and see that there's obviously a foul and say that, you know, even though I can't retroactively call this foul on Otto Porter or Mike Scott in those two instances, that I can at least do the right thing and say that the Pistons get the call. And say the Pistons, you know, maybe not the call, but the ball anyway. So you say, well, you know, inconclusive evidence, we can't overturn the call or something like that. It seems like more of a common sense approach by officials, kind of individuals in their own heads to kind of maybe make the right call at the end of the day, even though it's maybe a roundabout way of making it. It feels like something like that could possibly happen down the road. But anyway, moving on to this week, like I said, a huge week for Pistons fans and for the Pistons team, as you got a couple of, you know, winnable games, but tough ones nonetheless. But, you know, going into the season, I was guarded. I think everyone around the Pistons or even Pistons fans were also guarded too. You got the cynical fans that thought, you know, they weren't going to go to the playoffs anyway and that this is maybe Stan Van Gundy's last year. And then you had maybe some optimistic fans that thought, yeah, solidly in the playoffs, kind of like I said about a 6 or 7 seed. Then maybe some people said, you know, as high as a 5 seed, something like that. Not really going into the final month of the season wondering if you're going to make the playoffs, but more secure in the fact that you're going to match up with the 3 seed or the 4 seed or something like that. But hey, looking at the first week of the season, we talked all preseason about the depth. We know that this team has a lot of depth. The question is it quality depth or is it a quality starters? Is that rotation of 6 guys or so that are going to see the bulk of your minutes, is that good enough to compete? Is that good enough to be a team that takes that next step from where they were 2 years ago? Well, the early indications are that this might be that type of team. This might be the team that, you know, not only is solidly in the playoffs, but is looking at possibly securing some home court advantage in the first round. I mean, again, this is the type of podcast when you have a 2-1 start, when you look pretty good for pretty much most of those 3 games, where you could probably play this podcast back in May for me, and you might be able to laugh about how optimistic things looked at such an early juncture of the season. But geez, the way that things are looking, the defense that Avery Bradley brings along with Stanley Johnson and AT off the bench on Saturday night, I mean, some of the things that are happening offensively with Tobias Harris, the conditioning of Andre Drummond, the return of health so far of Reggie Jackson. And then we all know that there's kind of some tricks up the sleeve. We see that Henry Ellenson is making contributions off the bench early on. Luke Kennard seems to be unafraid of the moment, if nothing else so far. And then you got, you know, Boban off the bench. You got some other things that could come together as time goes on. Can't forget about Langston Galloway, Ish Smith, and some of the other bench contributors so far this season. So really a solid start for the Pistons. And hey, we might need to think about revamping our expectations for what this team could be. I remember that Doug Collins had and Grant Hill's teams had a way of sneaking up on us a little bit, that Jerry Stackhouse and Rick Carlisle, that those teams kind of snuck up a little bit on us in terms of when they finally got rolling and got things winning and got to 50 wins and those kind of things. Same thing kind of happened with the Billups crew. We weren't expecting a whole lot from that crew at times, and they really stepped up and really made it happen when it was time to start turning things around. And maybe that's what this group is. I mean, it's a young group, but it's guys that are, you know, starting to enter their prime of their careers a little bit. Everybody's got a little chip on their shoulder, and we know how Detroiters and Detroit Pistons are with a little chip on their shoulder. We've seen that over the years. So maybe this is the formula. Maybe Stan's kind of find the right mix. Maybe this team benefits from things like, you know, Cleveland taking a bit of a step back this year, possibly, especially with Kyrie being gone and reduced minutes maybe for LeBron James on the horizon. Then we saw what happened with Gordon Hayward on the opening night of the NBA. The Washington Wizards are still a little thin inside, and it looked like the Pistons finally aren't afraid of making that trip to Washington, D.C. Maybe other teams won't be so much either. So, again, there's a possibility for this Eastern Conference to go ahead and make your mark sooner rather than later, and a good start is going to help that. And like I said, another big game coming up this week, Monday and Wednesday at home, and then hitting the road for three out west. But then after that, if you look at the schedule, it's a pretty nice, easy stretch of games at Little Caesars Arena with some real winnable ones there. So if you can survive the next week or so, maybe you can go on a little run, start the season off with a little bit of a cushion for when those mid-season doldrums hit. But it'll be interesting to follow. I mean, maybe there are some of you guys out there that are thinking about a return to glory. And we're all, you know, we've all heard about the lack of attendance in the opener and maybe a little bit of a, you know, excitement missing from the first week or so of the Pistons' return to downtown Detroit. But I think we've found with Detroit fans that it's all about wins, right? I mean, fans are only going to get excited about teams if they get things together and they start being contenders and start getting on a winning track in a consistent way. We'll see downtown that, you know, over the years, the Tigers got followed really closely by a lot of fans and set all sorts of attendance numbers, and we're up over 3 million every year. But we're going to see over these next few years that they're not going to have very many fans downtown. And even the Red Wings, despite their prominence over the past few decades, that possibly the downswing after the excitement of the arena falls for them, that downswing might hurt attendance. And I've never been someone who says that fans need to go to games, that fans have to go to games, or what's wrong with you fans out there who aren't going to games. I'll never say stuff like that. If teams aren't performing, then why would you go? So maybe this team will be performing soon. So maybe we are seeing the rebirth of the rebuild, and maybe that last year's disappointment was just a pause on what should be a continued upward trajectory for Stan Van Gundy and the Detroit Pistons. But we'll see as the season goes on. But one thing I can guarantee you is that we'll be keeping a close eye on it here on Locked On Pistons. And I hope that you will join me throughout the year as we look for another exciting week of Pistons basketball ahead. So thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good week.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really? Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.